Good morning and welcome to the Tao of June, living an inspired life. Recently, I had a conversation with one of my really good friends, Andre, and he inspired me to stay here in Atlanta, here in Georgia, instead of moving to Alaska, with my mom next spring, wrapping things up. And I gotta be honest, a part of me was excited for a new, fresh start, It kind of appealed to me, the idea of just going somewhere completely new, somewhere across the world in Alaska, and just start a new life, start fresh. It really did kind of, it kind of made me feel a little relieved, I don't have to deal with all of this that I have to deal with here. My business, all the people that I fired, some of them very rudely. Now I got to deal with that. I got to deal with the guilt. And I think I'm glad he talked me into it because, or he didn't talk me into it. He gave some very good reasons of why. And I think he's right. And I told him, now that I think about it, deep down, if I did move to Alaska, yeah, I mean, I think I'd be happy because, I could go outdoors into the mountains and stuff. But I think deep down, part of me will always feel like I ran away from this, And I talked to my daughters, my two daughters about it. I called them and told them, like, I think that Andre's right. I think that if I stay, tell my mom, yeah, go ahead and sell the house, and move up to Alaska next year if she wants, and just get a roommate or something down here, find a place for me and my three dogs to stay, and just rebuild, And Andre, my friend, he was like, let's look at it, let's how like what exactly are you working with? How many clients are you down to now? Now that you went on your firing spree, how many are left? And I told him, I don't know. I told him, I don't even know. I've been avoiding looking at it because I just don't want to look at it. I don't want to deal with it. And so I told him, I don't even know, honestly. I was like, it makes me feel embarrassed actually to tell you that I don't know. He was like, no, it makes sense. You don't want to look at it. You don't want to deal with it. It makes sense. He was like, but we have to, if you're gonna stay and if you're gonna work this out, we gotta look at the numbers, So last night I did. I looked at my client list and because I told him, I don't know, if I had to guess, maybe a handful, maybe 12, 15 at most, maybe, And that's why I was thinking, like, I'm in trouble, man. I'm in trouble, because the way I fired some of those people, I thought I was being so witty, but really I was being just rude and inconsiderate and emotional and selfish, just thinking about how I was feeling at the time, emotional, And I do regret that. I do. But I mean, what can I do now? What's done is done, And now I have to just deal with the consequences of my actions. And I'm willing to. I'm ready to do that. I don't want to run from this now. And I think that by going through and just really looking at how many people I actually have, I wrote down all the names of the people that are still on my schedule that I'm still grooming for. Grooming dogs, let's be clear, because I know that grooming these days has a negative connotation. But I looked at it and I got 24 clients. I still have 24 clients and 36 dogs. And I can only groom like one or two a day, and that means I'm pretty much fine. I just wasn't looking at what I was actually working with, so I was scared. But now that I actually look at it, it's actually not that bad, not as bad as I thought. It's actually not that great, obviously. Obviously, it's not a great situation because before I was like pushing close to 40 clients, and I fired over half of them. So yeah, now I'm down to like 24, but. Hey, that's enough. With 36 dogs, spread them out during the month, I'm fine. And I realized, wow, there's nothing I don't have to run. I don't have to be scared. I just need to just put my head down and just, work and budget better. Before I was just spent. And thing I thing is, I think I was spending the money I was making as a way to deal with the burnout I was feeling because I was working 7 days a week sometimes. I try to at least schedule like a Sunday off or a Saturday off. But those days off, I'm so dead tired, but I make myself go out and, go hiking with the dogs or do something because the dogs, my three dogs, you don't really get a lot of interaction from me because I'm at work all the time, And so Yeah, I try to walk him in the morning before I leave for work, walk him after I get home. But really, that's a lot of times that was all the interaction that we were getting because during the day I was just working all day and night, every single day. And so that one day I had off, I felt bad just resting and sleeping in and trying to recover. So I would go out and with my dogs, and now if I'd be exhausted because the heat this summer. Man, I mean hiking in those in the forest is hard enough when the weather is cool. But when it's so hot and humid like that, oh my God, it was exhausting. It was exhausting. Last weekend when I took my dogs out to the Broad River WMA and we hiked, we and scouted a little bit, I saw a family of wild boar. I saw two huge wild boars and their little piglets, you know, following them. I think there was about five little piglets with them. Oh my God, if I had my bow, I would have crept up on them and shot one of them because they are a problem here and they're aggressive. And one of my friends who's a hunter, he told me he would not attempt taking a shot at a wild boar unless he had a 45 caliber pistol or a shotgun or something on him, where if he missed or you know or maybe didn't get him right in the kill zone, that boar, he said, will get very aggressive and attack. And I told him, like, that's what I'm counting on. You know, if I don't get a kill shot, I don't want that boar to run away. I want him to come at me, you know? That way I can probably get another shot off as he's rushing me. If I don't have time to get another shot off, I'll pull my axe out and just slam it down on his head, you know? And my friend was telling me, he was like, I know you're badass, but he was like, a lot of hunters, skilled, experienced hunters, die out there from wild boar attacks every year. And I told him, you know, I was like, I don't want you to worry about me because I'm not suicidal, but I'm also not scared of dying, you know? And I was like, if that's the way I gotta go, that's the way I gotta go, you know? I'm not gonna fear it, you know? Amor fati, you know what I'm saying? Love my fate, whatever it is. So yeah, I was like, I don't care. But he did it. He really does want me to get a gun as long as I'm out there by myself. And there are like coyotes, bears, wild boar, you know, vicious animals that could attack me. You know, I told him, like, I don't care. You know, I don't have the money to buy a gun right now anyways. Even if I did, I probably just want to invest in more arrows, you know, and like probably want to spend it on my kids, you know, because I don't know. I just feel like I don't need a gun. I don't want a gun. I mean, if I get a gun, great. If somehow I have like a lot of expendable income, you know, just what do they call disposable income, where I could just spend, you know, 400, 500, 600 bucks, and it really wouldn't, you know, affect my budget at all. Well, then yeah, of course I would go out and get a pistol. But right now in my situation, I just feel like I would feel irresponsible if I bought a gun that spent that much money on something that I actually don't think I would use or need out there, you know? Because I got my bow and I'm pretty accurate with it now, you know? Like, I mean, yeah, I'm sure if a boar is rushing me and the adrenaline's pumping, maybe, yeah, I'll be shaking and I can't get the arrow off in time. Maybe. But I also have my machete. You know what I'm saying? I'll just stick it right in its mouth. You know, like, I don't know. Maybe I'm way off and I'm just, you know, just like when I first went into the woods, not knowing anything, I skipped in there singing songs and stuff, and then I got lost and I started crying. And I got so scared. I was trembling out of control. My body was shaking in fear. I could not even control it. But yeah, and so maybe it'll be something like that. Maybe in my mind, a wild boar attacking me, you know, is manageable in my mind, the way I see it happening. But maybe the reality of the situation is he's gonna be way too strong, way too fast for me to deal with, and he might end up killing me, you know, eating me alive. Who knows? But all I know is that as long as I have breath and I have strength in me, I'm going to keep fighting. You know? I mean, I'm not going to fear death or try to, you know, I'm not going to be scared of it, but I'm also not going to just let it happen either. So yeah, I would probably grab my buck knife and shove it inside socket or something, something. I'm just thinking I don't need that. But anyways, why am I even getting into all of this? Oh yeah, because that's what I did. Oh man, but anyways, I am stuck in traffic like crazy right now. We are at a standstill. Oh my goodness. I'm gonna be so late for work. It's all good though. Whatever happens, happens, right? Amor fati. I'm becoming much, much better. With practice, I'm getting better at just accepting things as they happen. Because I can't control circumstances. I can't control what happens. I can barely control myself. And that's really all I have control over, and I barely can manage that. So now I just realize I control nothing. Just as things happen, let it happen. What am I gonna do? Fighting against what's happening, wishing things were different, wishing things were not the way they were. It's all just a practice and frustration. You know what I'm saying? And so anyways, yeah, where was I going with this? Okay, so I'm gonna stay here in Georgia. I'm not gonna move to Alaska. I'm gonna stay here and work it out. I'm gonna deal with it, and try to rebuild. Try to rebuild my business, get back to where I'm, busy and financially stable again. And then I think I'll feel proud of myself. I told my daughter that too. I told her, like, rather than running away to Alaska, which is kind of what I would be doing, is running away to Alaska, hoping things would be different. But really, wherever you go, there you are, right? So if I don't change here now, it doesn't matter where I go. Even if I go to Alaska, I'll probably end up in a similar situation as I am now because I didn't work on myself and change myself. So even if the circumstances and the location around me changes, nothing really is going to change about my circumstances, my life situation, because I did not make the effort to change. So Alaska's not completely off the table. I mean, maybe I'll go there in my retirement age and try to retire up there like my parents. So it's not completely off the table. It's just not an option for me now. I need to work on my problems here and deal with it, And then my daughter even told me that she thinks that I would feel much more proud of myself if I stayed here and rebuilt, reestablished myself here in Atlanta. It's a small hiccup, and in a few years, probably nobody will even remember. So yeah, that's what I'm gonna do. I'm gonna stick around. I'm gonna work it out. And if I fail miserably again, that's all right. It's not like I've never been there before. I'll work it out. Amor fati. Whatever happens, happens. But yeah, I think that, the crazy thing is, I like running ideas by my daughters because even though they're only 10 and 13, even when they were younger, when they were like 8 and 5 even, I would tell them certain ideas that I have or things that I wanted to do. And they would give me actually some really good advice and feedback. Like they're really, really intelligent. Like it's they surprise me sometimes. The things that they say and their thought process and how they connect different ideas together that I didn't see the connection before, And I tell them, it's because you guys have the newer brain. You have a newer model brain. They're the 09, 011 model. I'm the 81 model. You know what I'm saying? So, of course, they're gonna be smarter than me. Of course, they're gonna be better than me. It's like I want that. Of course, it's only natural. It's only evolution. If you think about it, our parents are not as smart as us, if you think about it, right? You ever try to teach your parents? Well, it probably is different for different people, but if you're an Asian American and your parents don't really speak English that well, try teaching your parents how to use a smartphone. You know what I'm saying? It's like, oh wow, my parents are dumb. No, no, they're not. But I'm just saying, like, ideas and different, things just they just don't connect as fast, as quickly, in the older brains, And Same thing with our parents. They're, our grandparents. Our parents are smarter than our grandparents, right? And our grandparents hopefully were smarter than our great grandparents. Each generation improves, right? And that's just the natural way of things. You want your kids to be better than you. I actually am puzzled by parents, mostly men, especially men, and sometimes women too, sometimes the mothers too, where they almost put their kids down and like they want to take their, make sure their kid, take you down a notch or something like that. It's like humble, they want to humble their kids and make sure, because they feel a certain way. They feel competitive or something. They feel like less than if their kids are smarter than them or something, like a father whose kid is better than him at a certain sport, Oh, you think you're so good stuff or something? And he slams him down, or something. It's like, put him in his place, You think you're better than me? Like, of course he's better than you, dude. He's the newer model. He's smarter, faster, stronger, taller, probably better looking. You want that, don't you? Like, why are you upset that your kids might be better than you? They are better than you. Accept that. Cheer them on. They're your kids. But I just don't get it, like that whole, like, I don't know, competing with your own kids. Like, what in the world is that? Here's the crazy thing. It's like, would you be happy if your kid came out shorter than you, uglier than you, like dumber than you? What? And now you feel good about yourself. Look at my kid. He's so ugly and stupid and dumb and, helpless. And look at him. He's so fucking ignorant. Good. Now I feel good about myself. I'm better than my kid. What? Something went wrong, bro. You know what I'm saying? Something went wrong in that process because your kid, when they're born, should be better than every once in a while, there things happen. There are those like recessive genes and like, I mean genetics. What are you gonna do? Sometimes kids are born with abnormalities, birth defects, things like that. Yeah, of course that happens, but that's usually the outliers, right? On average, generally speaking, when people have children, the children are usually a more evolved, a better version of the parents, right? Isn't that supposed to be the way things are? I mean, every once in a while, yes, you do have those outliers, but you don't want that to be the norm. You don't want it to be normal for everyone who has kids, for their kids to be worse than them, you know what I'm saying? Less equipped for life than them. And then each generation, what, we're just gonna get dumber and dumber? You know what I'm saying? I don't get it. I think that's why I have hope for the future. Because all these ignorant boomers, stubbornly ignorant. You know what I'm saying? Be one. Just pick one. Be stubborn or ignorant. Don't be both. But these boomers who are in charge of everything, freaking stubbornly ignorant and stubbornly holding on to the old ways, protectors of the status quo, trying to make sure things don't change too much when actually change is inevitable. They're trying to hold back a dam that is broken, that's cracked and it's about to burst, and they're feebly trying to hold it up, hold back the water pressure, It's like give it some time and that dam is gonna burst. And it doesn't matter how many people are leaning against it, trying to hold it in place. It doesn't matter. And that's where we are right now, I think. I think we've reached a point in our history, human history, that where the pressure has been building and building. All the injustices, Black Lives Matter, Asian hate, all this covert racism, you know what I'm saying? This inequality, really, and all the injustices, and just the way people think about life, about trying to just get ahead no matter what, stepping on people to get over, to get above them. For what? Where are we all headed? Where are you going? You're going to the grave, bro. You can't take any of that shit with you. What are you doing? Why are you hurting so many people? And I think that the children, though, our children, they're much smarter than us. And they may agree with you because they're smart enough to know it's useless to argue with you. But I think just give it some time, and that crack in on that damn wall is growing. You know, that crack is reaching the ends of the walls, and that dam is about to burst. I can feel it. Look at the Olympics. I heard that the Olympics is at a 33-year all-time low in viewership. I'm not watching the Olympics. I don't give a shit. I don't have time for that. You know, I got too many things to deal with. Watch the Olympics for what? I don't care. You know what I'm saying? Am I really interested in those girls like swinging around on the metal poles doing the gymnastic shit? I don't care. You know? Yeah, I'll sit down and watch it if I have nothing to do, but you know, I got shit to do. But I think with the children too, especially back when I was a kid in the 80s, 90s, you know, growing up, watching the Olympics was like a family event. You know, that was all that we really had going, really. And it was nice because that was the only time I would actually sit down with my parents and we would have something to do together. And it was kind of fun. And so it wasn't the Olympics that I was interested in. It was that family time that I loved. Sitting and watching the Olympics, cheering on Korea, because that's the only time they would actually watch, is when Korea was competing. You know, so we're cheering Korea on together, watching the Olympics, you know, and it was fun. But now, you know, it's like, I don't know. I think like the children these days, especially with the internet, with social media, with everything, we're all so connected now. No matter where you are in this planet, if you have access to the internet, you're connected, right? And so now we can see how people in Panama, in Brazil, in Peru, we can see how people in Asia, you know, we can see how people in Russia live, like, because social media and TikTok, Facebook, you know, and now they don't seem so foreign to us, do they? They don't seem so different from us. Especially when you see these videos of these guys in South Africa making you laugh. They're funny. It's like, wow, they're human, like me. They might look different, yeah, because they live in a completely different area in the world. But they're like me. They have humor like me. They laugh at the same stuff, you know? So now we feel connected, and now we don't feel like, oh, fuck South Africa. We gotta beat South Africa. You know, like, no, why? Those guys are funny. You know, they're good guys. I don't know. I just think that the world is changing, and the boomers and us older people, you know, anyone above 40 now, because I'm 40, we need to get with it or just die off. We're fucking dinosaurs, man, you know, and we need to go extinct because the younger generation need to fix all the shit that we broke on this planet, you know. Thinking that life is an infinite, is a finite game. Thinking that we're here to win something, you know? And so we start ravaging the planet, you know? Just decimating all the natural resources, you know? Just fuck the ocean. Who cares? Fuck the atmosphere. Who cares? I need to make money, you know? We're gonna burn these fossil fuels. We're gonna fuck this planet over because I need to make money. I need to win. It's like, dude, you won, but guess what? You're gonna die. And after you die, all that shit you won stays right behind. You don't take it with you. You know what you do take with you, though? The guilt, the remorse, knowing that you fucked this planet over and you fucked up a lot of families because you wanted to get ahead. Get ahead of who? For what? Where were you going? You know? I think the children get it, man. The kids understand. And that's why the viewership for the Olympics is at an all-time low in 33 years, because no one gives a shit if Korea beats Japan, or if America beats, you know, South Africa or Brazil. Who gives a shit? You know what I'm I think that we're starting to get it. I think that the human race is starting to wake up. You know, we're finally starting to see. And the Olympics is such a fucking scam, dude. You know, they're exploiting these athletes. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're making billions of dollars off all the ad revenue. It's a multi-billion dollar business, the Olympics. And guess what the athletes get paid? They get an attaboy, they get a pat on the back. Unless they win the gold medal, then they use that gold medal win to go back to their country and they get some perks, of course. But guess what? If you're not on that podium, if you're not top three, yeah, tough luck. You know what I'm saying? All the money you spent training, traveling, you know, all that investment gone, baby. And guess what? The Olympics, they made billions of dollars. You know what I'm saying? And you ain't got shit now. They just made money off of you because you were one of the talents that they exploited. So yeah, I mean, I don't know, man. I don't know. I think that we are at a time right now in history where things are about to really change. You know, no matter how much you want to deny climate change because you're a Republican and you are, you know, so behind Trump, you know, Trump can do no wrong in your eyes. You know what I'm saying? And you're just so fucking brainwashed by all the fucking politics and everything and choosing sides, us against them, you know? And you just refuse to believe that the world, that the earth, the temperature is rising. You know? And I don't care how much you deny it. This summer was rough. It was a really rough summer. In the past 10 years, I've never seen the dogs this matted and this rough, shedding like crazy. And they say it's in response to the sunlight, not the temperature, not the weather. Like, it's in response to how, the intensity and the duration of the sun. Even if they're indoor dogs and they never step outside, somehow their skin knows, you know? And yeah, all the dogs have been in much worse shape this summer than I've ever seen it before. And nothing else has changed, really. Just the temperature, because the sun is so intense now. And so it doesn't matter how much you want to deny it. I remember one time I was talking about this documentary that I saw, how they were drilling the ice cores in Antarctica and pulling out the ice cores, you know, hundreds of feet, because at, you know, you could read the carbon levels in the ice. It's like going through a history book, you know? It's like frozen solid, you know, history frozen in time right there. And they were showing that in the past thousands of years, the CO2 level in the air has never been this high. And one of the guys, he was the husband of one of the groomers. He was like, "That's not real." He was like, "Don't worry about that. Climate change." He was like, "It's bullshit. You know, it's political." It's like, "No, you're politicizing it. This is science, bro." I just don't get it. People who deny climate change, you can deny all you want. It's happening. You can feel it. It's here. It's real. It's now. You know what I'm saying? Wildfires up in Siberia right now, devastating that country. In California, we got that wildfire going on. Crazy. We got a hurricane coming from the Gulf right now. This world, this Mother Earth is trying to let us know y'all fucked up. You know what I'm saying? And if you don't get it together real quick, this world, this Earth is about to chew you up and spit you out. You know what I'm saying? We think we're so powerful. We think we're so important. But really, this Earth will continue on without us. No problem. Actually, the Earth and all the creatures in it will probably get along much better without us on it. You know? So yeah, I mean, I don't know. I just feel like we're entering a new stage in human history where it's either time to evolve in our thinking, evolve in the way we behave, in the way we live, in the way we treat this planet. Either we change or the Earth is going to change. And it's going to make it so inhabitable, inhospitable for human life that, you know, we're just going to die off. It's just going to kill us off, you know? And I think that we have a choice right now. One or the other. We either change our behaviors and how we treat this planet, how we treat each other, how we treat ourselves. We either wake up and change, or the Earth is going to change for us. And we will no longer be a place where we are welcome. That's just my thoughts. It's my opinion. I may be wrong, as I usually am. You know, that's okay, but it's still how I feel. So, yeah, I just wanna leave you with that, I guess. I mean, oh man, well, I do have hope though. I know this sounds pretty pessimistic, but what I'm saying is that I do have hope for the future because our children are so bright, and they're so good. You know, they have goodness inside of them that has not been tarnished yet by the cynicism, you know, and the manipulative tactics that people use to hurt us and take advantage of us, and then we get jaded. You know, that hasn't happened to our kids yet. Hopefully. Some of them probably. But yeah, I really do. Every time I have a conversation with a 10-year-old, 11-year-old, 12-year-old, I'm just so shocked by how bright they are and how intelligent they are and how many ideas they have to save this planet and undo all the shit that we messed up. Let's hold out hope. Let's have good, you know, hope for the future because our children are capable of fixing our mess. You know? And yeah, no matter how powerful, no matter how rich some of these people are, they're dinosaurs, man. Just give it time and they'll be gone soon. And then the children will be adults by then, and then they can really work on fixing this planet without the interruption, you know, of these boomers, these stubbornly ignorant boomers that don't want change. You know, they just want things to be this way it is. And it's like, nah, man, we have to change, or the planet is going to change, and then we will no longer be welcome. I hope this resonates with somebody. I'm just talking because I was stuck in traffic. I'm late for work. Anyways, I honor the light in you. That's also in me. Namaste, and have a great day.